So,
hello,
hello, hello. It's not very loud, is it?
I have a big mouth, so we'll solve that problem this way. So how many people have seen this orange badge as you've been walking around the conference? So they're orange for construction. That's what they mean. Lisa Build was kind of a brainchild of something Brett and I've done many times before at a couple of other conferences where we come in and help them with the network. At Lisa, we have traditionally had, how shall I put this politely, not the best wireless. And so last year this kind of came to a head, and I had mentioned to Hillary and the other USENIX staff that I've done this before, and they came to me and say, would you do it again? And so I contacted Brett, and he and I have a long association doing fun stuff like this, and we put it together over the last several months with many trials and tribulations between the two of us, and you guys have wireless. It was really a whole lot of fun to do. This motley crew of orange badges you see up here, except for one who I am now going to bless him with an orange badge. As he absolutely deserves it. So this crew came in Sunday morning with no expectations whatsoever about what we were going to do. We found old hardware from various four points of the compass. Literally somebody who's not here. Where's Dragos? We got to find him. Went to Redmond to go get us another machine because we were short some machines. We found some machines didn't have memory. We found some stuff didn't have software. There were a lot of trials. And between all of that, this group came together. We worked really hard, and we built the network. I'm going to let Brett talk about some of the implementation parts of it. And then what I'd like to do is give this group an opportunity to speak a little bit about their experiences and let you guys ask questions. Next year, we've been already asked to do this again. I'm certainly going to be here. I don't know about the rest of this motley crew or Brett, but I think we're going to jump in and do it again. And when we do, we're looking for more people. So if you're at all interested in doing something like this, ask them questions. I'm sure they have answers. So with that, Mr. Thorson. Yes, you have to work for me again.
Hey, I'm Brett. Before we get started, is there a mic down there somewhere? Can you guys just introduce yourselves so everybody knows who you are and maybe like where you work?
I'm Steve Anthony from Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
I am Monroe Zolog from Lehigh University, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Adam Moskowitz from MathWorks near Boston.
Christopher DeMarco from Maya in Pittsburgh.
Kevin Tower, I'm actually the local of the group. I'm from University of Washington.
Matt Monroe, I'm from Google in Pittsburgh.
Tao Sapola, I'm from City of Edmonton, Canada.
Justin Shattuck, F5 Networks in San Jose.
Richard Dakin, crew, Orlando, Florida.
Cool. So I'm Brett. We've actually done this quite a bit before, and like I said, I used to work for the IETF, so I used to go around to their meetings three times a year and set up basically networks like this. I'm going to kind of give you the background on a little bit of what it takes. So if you ever find yourself in a spot like we are, you have a little bit of knowledge on what you need to plan ahead for. Mostly it's cash. Back in 2000, it used to be pretty easy to come into a hotel and say, could you turn off your two APs over the lobby and bar, and we're going to come in with 30. And they would be like, yeah, sure, great. Now it's a major revenue source for them. This hotel gives it away for free in the lobbies, so they don't really mind. But there are still hotels that it's a big revenue generator for them. So coming in and saying, we need you to shut that off for a week, they're usually not too thrilled. At least with the IETF, I don't know about this group, and ShmooCon, we can usually say your bar is going to quadruple in profit. So you really want good Wi-Fi down there. In Minneapolis, we actually put an array on top of the hotel and shot it to a bar two blocks down the street, and that bar was packed every day, and people were sitting by the window with their directional antennas. So this begins probably at least 3 or 4 months before the conference, and it all depends on how much bandwidth do you need, where are their access points, what is their physical plant. We've actually found more bad ports in this hotel than the hotel even knew about, so you're welcome. Luckily, this hotel was actually pretty cool. We got keys to their MDF, or actually their IDF, their intermediate distribution frame, so we can kind of go in there and patch as we want. There's a lot of hotels that rightly so, they won't let you go into their network closets and start jacking around. But after a couple of calls at 3 a.m., they'll usually give you the card. I'm going to go over just a little bit of what we've been doing, but honestly, this crew has been fantastic and phenomenal. At the ShmooCons that we do, we usually get people from just about every skill level, from I just got my laptop to, you know, I hack networks and know them inside and out. With this group, it was really cool because everyone had a much higher base level. It was, they already knew Linux or Windows, or they knew a lot of stuff. So honestly, props to you guys, because it was really great working with you. One of the things that really helped us out were these Xeris arrays, the what I call 802.11 digital showers. They are here over in B, and there's one on the far side in D. What you're looking at is a snapshot that we took of one of the APs that's up against a back wall. So this is actually the service corridor, where if you were in D at all today, you heard trains rolling by. Those were the food carts. But this is everybody that was in the room at the time. This is what that access point is seeing right now. And it keeps refreshing, so I didn't want to send anyone into a shock. But those are all the access points it sees. The orange ones are 5 gigahertz, and somewhere in here, if you were able to click, it's the green ones are the 2 gigahertz. We've actually had probably about 75% of the people on 5 gig. So good job. Yay! And then we've been collecting stats. We negotiated with the hotel for 40 megabits, and we exceeded that once while Monroe and I were trying to do traffic shaping. we kind of blew past that, and then we did traffic shaping, and we came back. So the hotel was like, you've been under 40 megabits, except for this, like, 30-second window when you, like, just knocked everything out of the park. So that's what that is. So we're keeping pretty good stats. Click, move, graphics. All right, let's see. Oh, it's command, that's right. This is log stash, well, at least part of it. And again, this is...
It's too big.
That is awful. Sometimes PowerPoint is the answer. This is Logstash, and what we're looking at is DHCP requests and ACKs. So you can see there's a lot of people asking for addresses. We kind of think it's because they come from other networks. Basically, if you're out in the hallway or on a different floor, you're on USENIX. So when you come back in here, you reassociate with our network, and you ask for an address. Since we're not authoritative, we don't NAC you, some of the computers like to be like, are you sure? I really want that address. Can you give it to me? And until they time out, then you finally fail over onto our network. It's the typical statistics that you'd see at just about any conference. Morning, the talks start, then there's the lunch break, then there's the afternoon, then there's the cookie break, and then there's the rest of the afternoon, and then the dinner break, and then there's usually a small bump after that where things pick up just a little bit. So that's really all that is. I'm going to put up, again, another, this is like, if you saw someone with bad slides today, I'm going to beat them. So this is the worst slide ever. So just when you thought death by PowerPoint, death by Notepad. So this is kind of all the stuff that we did. So traffic shaping, we used Firewall Builder to build our firewall and push it to IP tables. We're running two Linksys switches, which that is true. We had to use XP Professional No Service Pack so we could get to an IE7 so that we could admin the GUI. There was a command line interface on there, but I think you had to SSH, log in, hit Control Z, log in again. Hopefully those will set themselves on fire before we leave for this this one. These Xeris arrays, they worked really well. One of them has been dropped twice, still works, so they're pretty tough. They end-of-lifed in 2013, last firmware was put on in 2006, but they still work. And we're going to try to get more, because essentially you've seen we did the grand ballroom, so we're hoping, like in D.C., we're going to be able to do more of the pre-function areas and maybe some of the classrooms. We don't know. We have three servers that are kind of running everything that you've seen set up, Frank, Beans, and Zipper. And we're running all of those different things at the top. Yeah, go ahead and Google that at some point, and maybe you'll see a movie reference, and you can watch that tonight on your Netflix. Just don't stream it on our network. with that, I mean, there's a lot more we can talk about, but I think it's more useful if people ask questions, and we can, the people who actually did a lot of the heavy lifting can answer their questions.
Do you guys want to talk about your experiences a little bit? Kind of start some questions out. What was your favorite part of this event? You're holding the mic.
My favorite part of this event was working closely with people who I knew vaguely from other leases, or maybe knew their faces and didn't know who they were, or didn't know them at all. And I feel like I got to know a lot more Lisa people this year by doing this working together than I ever have in the past, and that was tremendous. I encourage anybody who has an opportunity to participate in years to come, do this. This is fun. This is a good time.
Eat the mic. Monroe, eat the mic.
I guess the most interesting part for me was trying to figure out how to deploy a sane network with scarce resources. You know, in my world, we have money. We can buy, if we need something, we buy it, and we deploy whatever. Here, we try to scrounge whatever we got and make it work.
Yeah, I think Monroe has said to me on more than one occasion, when has poor funding been an excuse for poor network design? my favorite part of this, I think, was getting to meet all these people and having something to talk to with just about anyone I walked up to. I sort of got sucked into this by proximity. I came with Monroe, and I was in the build room quite a bit, and then Monroe said, hey, it would be really cool if we had Elasticsearch, Logstash, Kibana stack to do some of this log analysis. And I said, well, I can do that. I did that at work, so how hard could it be to get running here? two and a half days later of, you know, 8-hour days, it's working. So it wasn't that hard.
That was one of the cooler things about this is when you're sitting in the build room and somebody walks in and I'm like, hi, welcome to build. This is our network, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll walk out. Someone's like, do you know who that was? He wrote this book. She did this. It's like owner of that. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I've met a famous person. So that's kind of cool.
Kevin?
Other than what they have already said, I think the most interesting thing for me was being able to do something that I haven't really done before. I'm mostly a systems guy. And this time I got a chance to do a little bit more work in networking, which I haven't done very much before. So it got me out of my rut a little bit of doing systems work and doing some more work in the networking arena.
Sure. I would say for me, it's coming from an environment where I don't have to deal with any of this in a very long time. This appreciation of how hard it is to get the physical stuff right. And day to day, like, there's a lot of effort put inside just to get this to work. And when you got abstraction of all your monitors already set up, you just need to look at the graphs. It's so much easier than actually having to build that from the ground up.
Finding XP was not the funnest part of doing this.
Yeah, you're just lucky I had an ISO sitting around.
I think my favorite part of this was just the positive attitude with everybody. Oh, you haven't done this before? Let's do it. Okay. Nobody ever said, I haven't done this before. I'm not going to do it. Right? And that was just amazing. Like, it was so good. We each got to do something that maybe we haven't done before, which was kind of cool.
So my story about it is pretty interesting, actually, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I signed up for Build. I thought I would be coming and actually building something else. I guess I just didn't really understand. And so I looked the day before when I registered and picked up badges for myself and somebody else. It said that it started at 7, so I got here at 6:30. You guys all got here at like 9:30.
I know. I'm down there by 8.
That's, yeah. That I remember seeing the room and nothing was in there. I'm like, what are we building? What is all this? Like, what is going on? And nobody really knew until kind of we all got together and we're like, oh, we're putting this network together. So somebody else had already said it, but we really take for granted having, I mean, now myself being at F5, we have devices that'll do all of this in a 1U box and takes no time at all to set up. So building it all from scratch was a lot of fun, and learning about Firewall Builder and knowing that I never again have to write my IP tables or PF chains by hand is excellent. So it was a good time. I'd definitely encourage anybody else kind of interested in figuring out how to give back or help. This is a good way of doing so.
Yeah, my most enjoyable part of the experience was meeting the people and working with them. I've been a field engineer and systems network engineer for 32 years, and I'm pretty burnt out and been thinking about leaving the business. But I've been encouraged this week. It's been like sysadmin therapy for me, sysadmin group therapy. And it's been like a geek camp, summer camp. So it's been fun.
Cool. So when we say we started with nothing, we had what? Bins of cables, bins of power supplies. On Saturday, there were a couple of people here early, and we set up a table in my room, and we were getting ready to install VMware on our VM server, and we opened it up, and it had no memory at all. And then we opened up the other box, and it had a bunch of SIMs in it. We're like, cool. And we look at them, and there was, what, 2 4-gig SIMs and 2 1-gig SIMs. And they were DSIMs. And we tried, how many, I know I was doing it, and a couple other people, we were on the phone calling every single place we could find RDSIMs. Nobody had them. It's quite an interesting event, and it's somewhat by design. When we've done this before, we design it so that we don't have anything to start with. It was actually, we were walking somewhere the other day, and somebody made the comment, you know, we should keep all our hard drives and all our configurations so next year we don't have to do it again. You know. The whole point of the project is to kind of start from scratch and work up.
And the corollary to that is by the time you get done, you're like, oh my gosh, this network, I can't believe it's still running. We should scrap all of this and start over next year.
And do it differently. Yeah. We try different operating systems. We eventually, I think, settled on Cint. What was that?
No, we blew that away.
there was a quiet revolution one night, apparently.
We accidentally rebooted the firewall one day, and one night while we were out at dinner, we just get a little text, all the power went out. So we're like, I guess we tested our reboot scenario.
As we're doing the work, you're really having to, I mean, we've all probably edited DNS files. How many people have set one up from scratch again? We were diving for configuration on building BootP servers because some of the machines were so old we couldn't get them to boot off a USB stick. Nobody brought CD media. Oops. I mean, it's little things like that it's both a bad thing that you get in that position, but it's a good thing because then everybody has to put on their thinking caps and say, all right, how are we going to go around this problem? What can we do to solve it? And I mean, we had, in parallel, we had people trying to make, how many USB keys did we go through trying to get one to boot? And I think right about the time I got a BootP server up, one of the USB keys worked. So it was kind of fun putting it together, and it's designed to help people come together, right? I would dare say we would all go out and have beers together tonight and have a grand time. But it's also designed to help you learn to deal with stress in a situation like that, because believe me, there's some stress. As you're working through it, you have to solve problems. So, do you have a question?
Can I jump up and ask questions? Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please do.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Fire when ready.
I have two questions. First off, this sounds really good, and I'm ready to be part of it next year. How do I do that?
You should find a Lisa build on the webpage for registration, and you just got to click on that and go through the... I actually didn't do that, which is why I have a handwritten badge. Yeah, I'm kind of an extra person here. It was a little bit hard to find this year, because again, it was our first year, and they weren't really sure how to promote it. We weren't really sure how it was going to work. So I think for 2015, you will see the full force of USENIX's propaganda. Media. media behind it. So it should be
perfect.
Easy for you to sign up.
The second one for everybody sitting in the row, you kind of touched on this while doing the intros, but can you address if you've ever done any networking before, if this was a completely new experience for you?
I come from a really small environment, so I've done networking. I have to do networking. But I've never done real networking. Like, a VLAN, I've heard of those. They sound cool. Maybe one day I'll get to play with one. And then fast forward to Sunday where Branson is talking to the switches. I don't mean interacting with it, like R2-D2 plugged into the Switch, and he's talking to the Switch, not happily either. it was something to see, and the you know, IP is IP, right? I mean, it's I've done it enough that I can grok what's going on, but I didn't have the facility or the experience to do it myself. Now I sort of feel like I might. I mean, next year I would feel a lot more comfortable doing a lot more of the grotty networking than I would have felt comfortable doing and should have done on Saturday.
I think we have the volunteer for the person doing the firewall next year just stood up.
Well, actually, so one of the cool things about these scenarios is people will, like, if you do Logstash next year, I will, like, flip your chair over. Because that's the cool thing is what you do is, like, every year that this builds is the person who knows the most will do the least of that thing.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, like Thao said, I don't know how to do this. Okay, well, then you're assigned to it, and then I'm going to be back here. So as soon as you, you know, after you RTFM for 3, you know, minutes or so, turn around, I'll give you a pointer, and you run. So that's exactly what it is. It's great. Good question. And we've got another.
Hey. So I've done a couple of off, I always end up doing offsite builds because I run events for fun because I don't have enough to do as a systems engineer. And then they go, hey, our computers, we need some. And I'm just wondering, like, so you've mentioned, right, someone said, oh, thank God I had that ISO lying around, right? And you said, you talked about, you know, opening the box and being like, oh, there's no memory. Oh, okay, look at that. What do you keep, like, I keep an old Cisco 2620 lying around and I drag it out to every event because it's come in handy at every event. What do you keep lying around? What are you going to keep lying around for next year? What are you going to drag out the next time you have to do something?
Well, just not the Cisco, Linksys switches.
There's a base set of gear that, like, a conference like this will need. When I was doing IETF and some of the other ones, we'd usually get a sponsor. And that was one of the cool things, is even in build, we'd have people come up and be like, so what are you using for a firewall? IP tables and firewall builder? Well, I work for a firewall company. Could we blah, blah, blah? So yeah, give me your card. I'm going to give it to Casey. Hi, Casey. She was our point person for USENIX. And so, you know, we're going to coordinate with her so that these people can show up. Now, it's a little bit easier at a conference like this. For the smaller ones, you kind of need... Well, first of all, the hotels are actually getting pretty good at having decent wireless when people out here don't have 5 devices in their pockets. But to do something like this, like, you either need a few of these Xeruses, which have 16 radios in them, 12 A's and 4 ABGs, and they just work. Otherwise, you do need kind of a plant and something to get them out of the way of the soggy humans. So power supplies, cabling, a computer to kind of manage it all. That's really about it. And access
cable
to the
tester.
And a cable tester. Those came in real handy.
One of the things I brought this year that I think helped us is I just grabbed an access point, a home router access point from home, and I fired it up. And I use it for my class, and we used it so that we could all get on a network and start plugging into things and all work together. Another thing that we have found historically is that's really great, as long as you also have a route out to the internet off of it. So that can become a challenge. So you deal with those kinds of things. I personally packed a Mac Mini that with VMs on it so that we would have stuff, and it happened to have an XP ISO on it, which really saved our butts. But things like of that nature. I also brought and will probably leave one of the Cisco fire switches that we want to die in a fire. So
does that help you?
So in terms of the setup for the, let's say you have 2 or more access points, do you connect them directly to the Ethernet link, or you do a client bridge and things like that?
Somebody take that one.
I didn't hear the question.
The question was, where do we connect the Ethernet? How do we connect up the Ethernet, and why do we do it for the Xeruses?
Early on, we made a decision to segment some of the Usernet, every network you're on, with the core services network. So all of these Xeruses are connected to one subnet, which then NATs out to the world through our firewall.
Through Ethernet?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to
No, we're not doing like a...
There's no Wi-Fi bridge.
Yeah.
There's no. No, it's all plugged back to the IDF.
Yeah, which was, if I had my druthers, the access point that's in B would be like in the middle of C, but there's no jacks there, so that's kind of where we live.
Do you want to mention the problem we had to cross-patch?
Yeah, so this hotel was actually really good at having knowing where their jacks are. The one that we're going to next year, I've been in that hotel and said, where are your network jacks? And they're like, they're on the wall. Great. So this hotel is pretty cool in that they, you know, they sent us maps. They're like, here's the jacks, here's the numbers, here's the IDF, here's where the APs are in the ceiling. So, like, they had a lot of that already figured out. So we could kind of plant and go. If you're going to do this, bring a network tester and a power, one of those Home Depot three-pronged, your power is good thing. Those are three that are just, you need to have it. And assume that you will have Cat 5, Cat 6 runs over 100 meters, because sometimes they just do straight runs to wherever they need to go.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question? All right.
I'm just curious what you had planned and what you didn't have planned. Did you spend the whole last year not getting any sleep, wondering what you were going to do when you showed up on Saturday? Or did you have some kind of plans in place that you then tried to follow as closely as possible when Saturday rolled around? Uh-oh.
So Branson spent the last whole year not getting any sleep for reasons that have nothing to do with the build. And partly as a result of that, there was nothing planned when we started on Sunday morning.
It's a fair thing. I've had some personal issues over the last couple of weeks. And he came from where?
Nepal. Yeah, I was late because I got stuck in Istanbul after spending a week in Kathmandu. The fresh air here is awesome.
Just as a little more tale, like we showed up Sunday morning and it was first like, well, what would people like to do? Then it was like, someone's like, well, what hardware do we have? And so the first started was like, what hardware do we have? Then it was like, what operating systems for the machines? And it just was like, there was really nothing done. We didn't even know when we started what we had. That was like task number one, is figure out what we could possibly do.
And that's not, so where we've done this before, we walk in and you really don't know what you have until you walk in the door. We have a, Brett's really good, one of the things I love that he does is we have a huge Google spreadsheet with about a million tabs on it. And one of the tabs is equipment we have, and another tab is equipment you're going to bring. And so that kind of gets you set up and useful. But like I said, we had kind of depended on one of those boxes to be a VM server, and that didn't work out so well. So you kind of have to, you have what you have, and you can make some base plans on that, but you really don't know how it's going to work out until you get there. One thing we do somewhat plan, though, is like the VLANs. So we had a pretty good idea of the VLANs that we were going to use. We had already numbered them. We'd already gotten net blocks and stuff. And then when we got here, the local guy with the networking said, oh, by the way, we use VLAN 600. You can't. And so we had to adapt right at that moment. We had to go through and change stuff. We just did it. I mean, it's part of what you got to do.
One of the other things that was in addition, too, is we have labs, and they came by at 9 o'clock last night, and we're like, we need these static DNS entries. We need this route. We're like, okay. And then tomorrow we're going to have a VoIP call from the White House, and our network's a lot easier to modify than theirs, so we had to go out and get a static and, you know, so that the White House can do a point-to-point because they can't run Skype at the White House. So, you know, it's always changing. So we kind of plan for this, hope for that, and then we always go a little bit beyond.
Having done Wi-Fi in my office a couple of times and knowing some of the challenges of that, the main question I have is, how much testing do you have to do to find out where all the little dead spots are? Or do you even know where they are?
You did that for us.
Exactly.
I actually was in a Google talk where they're like, we don't really, no, I was talking with a Google engineer and they're like, we don't really do a whole lot of like forceful testing. People just use so much of it all the time, it just kind of weeds itself out. So yeah, we're usually on IRC and hearing people grumble, and a lot of the time it was like, wow, wireless sucked. Well, what SSID are you on? USENIX. Well, you should try USENIX 5. Hey, that's much better. Problem solved. So that's kind of it. We have had, like, back in, I think, ShmooCon and IETF and some of those, like, someone will kind of walk around with the air snort, or sometimes we've gotten the giant, like, $50,000 Fluke tool to do it or something like that. But this one, it actually was pretty easy because we're in basically a long room with air walls that are pretty permeable.
So three, well, one statement and then two questions. First off, guy from the University of Washington, I'm from WSU. I would love to talk to you.
Okay.
So thing number one, what kind of traffic shaping are you doing?
Nothing too fancy. We were given a 40 meg allotment from the hotel, but they're not enforcing anything. So use 40 meg and only use 40 meg, and if you use more, then it's on us. So we're just limiting basically to 40 meg, actually 38 meg, just in case their math is fuzzy.
Okay. We can use above 40 meg, but then the price goes up. So that's why we kept ourselves at 40 meg. And the price goes up. If you've ever seen an exponential graph. So, yeah, we cap ourselves, like I said, at 38. And Monroe was the guy who, and this is what is really cool, is had you done traffic shaping before?
Not with TC.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just, like I said, it was just him and me sitting next to each other. And he dove into the man page. He figured it out. All I had to do was, like, start an SCP to my server back home just to blow, you know, bandwidth by. And then I'm like, yep, now it's really bad. Yep, now it's really good.
And last question, how are you preventing crosstalk with just using large /16? So, you know, chatty devices such as Windows boxes, how are you preventing them from being chatty?
I guess the easy answer for that is we're not.
Yeah.
There's not really that many devices. It is a large subnet, but it's mostly empty. We could have made it much smaller, and the broadcast domain wouldn't have been so much of a problem. But in practice, it's the same size because there's only, you know, 1,200 devices on it anyway.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Sure. Some of these conferences, too, like, you know, when I go to a hotel and I have something on my phone that I need to get to my laptop, and I just want to SCP between the two, and I'm like, oh, they've got that, I don't know what you call it, the you can't talk to your neighbor kind of thing. That's really annoying. And so what I've learned, at least from the ShmooCons and the IETFs, is if you're on a VLAN, you get to see everybody else on that VLAN. There was actually talk once of the IETF going to Disney, and they had a great conference setup, but the deal breaker was they filtered a lot of traffic. We couldn't get IPv6 through their firewall, and because they didn't want somebody sitting at, you know, the Flamingo and Duck Hotel surfing porn. Rightly so. It's a Disney property. You can do that on our network, though I'm not encouraging that. one of the things is we try to keep it as open as possible. I would say this is probably a little bit more open than even ShmooCon, because at ShmooCon, we have a network where we do 802.1x, so you have a little bit more security. We have the Wild West, where it's just kind of, we have an open network, and then we have the Wild West, where it's like, if you're on the Wild West network, you are there to do damage to someone else, and you are prepared for someone to do damage to you. So that's a fun network to watch.
So I'm going to ask one more question of the panel here. Across the board, what's one thing you want to do differently next year?
I'm going to drive with a trunk full of equipment.
Steve?
I'm going to register for Build.
Oh, no.
No. Good.
I'm going to be more like Adam and not answer questions.
I think Adam's not going to sign up for Build. I think that was his answer.
I'm going to bring a Windows XP install image.
I think next year is try to basically focus on a couple new technologies to work on, pieces I didn't work on this year.
I'd agree with most of the guys and just bring some equipment, bring some images.
I'm not going to DC next year.
The same for me, ditto.
Does anybody else have any other questions they'd like to ask? How are we doing, Patrick? Still have a little bit or what?
About 9 minutes.
9 minutes.
Show of hands, how many people would be interested in doing Build next year?
Yeah. We'd love it. We normally when we... Oh, who, where, what? Go ahead, loud.
What's the difference? I haven't worked with 9 years, and I keep buying it. It's like a security tool for me.
No, Kibana is a front end for data and that's coming from Logstash into Elasticsearch. Nagios is for monitoring. Yeah.
Nagios is mostly for like alerting. Kibana is more like a data analytics and collection front end for Logstash. So all of our syslogs and that stuff is going into our what started off as one server, and then when that crashed became a cluster of two servers. And then we use Kibana to sort of visualize, search and visualize that data. Whereas Nagios is more like, hey, is this service running or did it die? Or hey, is my host down? Which you can kind of do with Kibana. There's certain outputs where you can say trigger a Nagios event if this event happens, but we're not doing any of that in it here.
One of the things I love about these conferences is we were running Nagios, and then was it you who told me about Isinga? Yeah, so Monroe's like, hey, you should check out Isinga. I'd never heard of it because, honestly, you know, you get Nagios set up with your either NERPI or SSH, and you're like, set it and forget it. And then someone else came in and talked about Truck, T-H-R-U-K. So it's cool because you come in with, like, well, these are the tools I know, and then someone will come in and be like, well, that's been forked and this and that. And, I mean, even the bind is, what, Kia? But then split,
yeah,
so...
That's complicated.
Yeah.
Did we use Kia?
No.
We used Bind9, right?
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe next year it's Kia or whatever it is after a year.
Yeah, so kind of as a summary, Brett and I have done this. At Shmoo, we have close to, what, 50?
Mm-hmm.
50, 55 people in the room. We break up into fairly large teams and go through this exercise. And we were able to accomplish, I'd say, two-thirds of what that team accomplishes with this team here.
Yeah,
and I can't say how proud I am of them and how hard they worked and how well they did. So if you guys see them, tell them thank you. Buy them a beer or three. And I'm sure David Nolan is quite happy. He has not had to get one single phone call this year to jump up and go fix the wireless, which is a pleasant change. Casey's in the back nodding emphatically. So next year we would love to have more. Yes?
5 minutes.
High five, nice job, Branson.
So anybody else have any other questions in all seriousness? If you're interested in it, talk to these people. Come talk to us. Brett and I are very approachable. We love to talk about this and talk to people. We'd love to have more people next year. We had a room. The room was almost, what, about this big, do you think? Maybe about a half this size. And we normally fit those 50 people into a room about a third this size. So that's also been a pleasant change. Yes?
I wouldn't be interested in it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, once we pack everything up and walk away, done. I kind of think the postmortem comes from, like, you learn the postmortem while you're in it.
Yeah.
And here's kind of the postmortem right here. Like, I don't think there's any secrets that we haven't told you. We accidentally set up an AP that kind of messed up someone, so we had an ICMP redirect, and
then... Finally.
Yeah. Can't put the same IP on two things. Especially when it's a default gateway. So, there you go. But, yeah, it really is learning. And coming into the build room, and, I mean, you could just ask, like, what was the one thing that screwed you the hardest and that you figured out? Boom, there you go. And that's kind of your postmortem. But I'd say join build, and you, too, will not want to do a postmortem.
Just to give some clarity. Build is not just the first day you're there. So we do build to get it started and get it built. That was one thing all these people went, really? We get to play with this all week? Yeah. And that's what's happened. And not to play on the pun, we've had incremental build. They started out with one thing. We have the people from Utah State. They're in there thinking about doing their visualization with our data, all kinds of things. So it's kind of almost build plus lab as a growth. We did a lot of work with the lab guys. I expect that's gonna continue and coalesce, and we'll do even more next year. So if you're interested, come talk to us. I think that's all the time we have. Again, I can't thank these people enough, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, guys. Thanks, y'all.